Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from this week's special guest.
It is my honor to introduce our guest speaker this morning. Her name is Pastor Jenny Donnelly. She and her husband reside in Portland, Oregon. They have five children. She was our keynote speaker for our Chica conference. Any Chicas? That's what I'm talking about. Let me just tell you, it was an unbelievable, the best Chica conference we've had yet. Oh my goodness, it was outstanding. I'm still on the moon from all the results of it. It was outstanding. And so she is with us today after the weekend. We were able to keep her here, and you all are going to be thrilled that you were in the house today. She is not only a wife and a mom, but she's an author, she's a speaker, she's an entrepreneur, she's a creative, she's brilliant, she's a visionary. She founded a movement called Her Voice Movement, and let me tell you, it's a perfect name because her voice is a voice that the kingdom of God, the church needs to hear, the world needs to hear. And so it is our honor, family, that she is with us this morning. So we're going to have a video play, and then let's give her the honor and welcome her as she comes. Amen. You guys are like family. Stay standing just for a moment. Can we just praise Jesus? Can we just thank him right now with our voices? Father God, we love you. We need you. Use your voice, church. Use your voice. Just tell him you love him. Tell him you need him today. Tell him you want him. Tell him you came for him. You came for him. We love you, Jesus. We honor you. Your presence is everything, God. We thank you that you are King and Lord over all. Nothing is too hard for King Jesus. Nothing is impossible for him. Nothing is impossible for you. So we choose to live in a different realm. We choose to live in the realm of faith. We choose to live in the realm of expectation and anticipation. So this morning, get your faith up, get your anticipation up that God has a word for you that will send you out and about in a glorious way. So we love you for it, Jesus. And we all together said as a family, amen. Awesome. Well, I have to tell you, thank you so much. You can have a seat. I feel like family. You guys are absolutely just, you love very well. Let me just tell you that. It was really easy to say yes to be here for another day. And the conference was incredible. And I'll tell you what, this church knows how to love. It is awesome. So thank you so very much. The word that God gave me today, I don't have time to tell you more about myself. Sometimes that helps because then you're like, okay, now I'll listen to her. She told me her story, you know? But I am probably a lot like you. My life was a mess. God took notice and sent somebody to tell me the gospel. And he rescued me. And that's the short version. If you want to hear all the juicy details, I have a couple books out there. And one of them has all the crazy details of my testimony. But I want to get right into this word because I got it from the Lord. Thank God I didn't get it from myself. You know, you're always happy when he gives you something. But it was interesting because I prayed before going to bed the other night. And I just said, God, give me a word for this church. And so I had, give me a dream. And how many dreamers in the house? How many dreamers? Dreamers, dreamers. Okay. Dreams are important. Very, very, very important. They can be very frustrating because God is very cryptic. right? You got to like figure out what did that mean, right? And it's really fun when you start chasing your dreams. You have to press into God and see what he's saying. We actually have 18 free courses on our website, which is john1930.com. Free courses, and one of them is on dream interpretation. You are the best dream interpreter for your dreams, by the way. You are, because your dreams mirror your life, your waking life. And you know your waking life better than anybody else. And so anyway, I asked for a dream, and the dream he gave me, I was like, oh man, I didn't see that coming. Okay. So I am here just to do what he wants me to do, which is to give the word that he gave me through this dream. Okay. I'm not going to tell you the dream details. It's one of those that you wake up and go, huh? You know, so I had to work on it yesterday. I called a friend of mine. We mapped out the dream. She kind of helped me through it a little bit. And so I'm confident that this is what God wants to share this morning as a result of that. So this is like a family meeting, okay? We are family. We're talking together as a house, okay? And hopefully you come to Bethel because you want a family. God believes in the family unit that you have in your home, and he is very much about the family of God, the family of faith that comes together and we get on mission together and we be about his business, okay? So you are not here just to kind of start your week off well, although that's a good way to start, but you are here because you are a valuable, important, and significant person in this family. You are. Now, God told me something prophetically, and I'm going to share it with you. He said this church is going to double. And somebody had just kind of breezed by me and said there was about 800 members of this church. And so simple math here. Thank goodness it was simple. 1,600. 1,600 people coming and flooding this church, which was really cool, right? More family members. But this is what he wanted me to share with you, and that is this, is that we are in a war, okay? So we need to stop being surprised about the battles. You know, at some point you just figure out, oh, I'm in a war. And the Bible actually says that you and I are not from here. If you've asked Christ in your heart and you have given him your life, then you were born again. Your spirit man took a breath and you're a new creation and you're a citizen of heaven right now. You and I are citizens of heaven, and we are here in this strange, peculiar place on a mission. We're all on the mission field. And so don't spend too much of your attention and your focus and your time and your money trying to get comfortable here. And I just see this picture of a dog like circling in a bed, you know, kind of laying down and getting up and circling, you know, because we're not from here. We're not from here. We actually live in heaven now. And so our job is to bring the kingdom of heaven to here. So knowing your part to play in the war helps. It's like, okay, I'm an ambassador. So think about an ambassador in any other country. They're there representing the country. They're in a foreign country, but they're maybe from the United States of America in a foreign country representing the United States of America, right? So we are here representing the kingdom of God. We are carrying the kingdom of God inside of us. But we have been dropped down into a war zone, all right? Does everybody understand that? We're on the same page, right? Simple stuff, but let me give you some examples of what war looks like right now. I mean, all of us live in some degree of our own bubble, right? So let me just kind of take you on a little trip to Portland, Oregon, okay? And that's where I'm from. And so I want to share with you kind of what's happening here. 40%, not just in Portland, but all across the United States, 40% of the Gen Z generation does not identify totally with their biological gender. 40% can't say, I'm a girl, and I know it. All right, so we're in a war. Okay, let's remember that. All right, so where I am, you know, we got these really cool bands, these red bands. Can I see my red band, girls? Who's got the red band on? Yes, yes, yes. Okay, stop. Dog ear what I was just saying. We'll come back to that. Prayer hubs. Right now, Arizona moved into third place in the nation. Yes, with 21 prayer hubs. Now, if everybody that stood up the day before yesterday, people stood up to say, I'm starting to prep. If every single one of you put your application in and we get you in the system, you will surpass Texas, which is like, I mean, don't we all just kind of want to beat Texas sometimes? Okay. Friendly competition. We are after 5,000 prayer hubs in every single state in this nation, because we know that prayer will turn America back to God. And when I share a few more of these crazy stories with you, you will say, oh, we're going to be praying. We got to be praying. And I do want to say this. This house has the prophetic declaration over it to be a leadership factory. So we speak life into that. A leadership factory. You're going to need leaders when 1,600 people come here. More people with more responsibilities, right? Lots of leaders. This is also a house of healing. That means when people come in here, including you and I, we get to come to a place where the Father is presented in his fullness, and part of his character is to heal our broken hearts, to heal our broken bodies, to come against anything that tries to exalt itself above the name of Jehovah God. So we get to be a house of healing. Bethel Chandler is also a house of prayer. Now, when I first came here and Pastor Julie took me back to the war room, which is behind that wall, I thought, I love these people. They are serious about prayer. Now, let me tell you something. You want to be in a church where the pastors prioritize prayer. And let me tell you why. Because these are people who know they're human. A house that doesn't pray and doesn't put a priority on prayer is kind of going to ride on their abilities, ride on their gifts, which will take you kind of far and make you think you don't need much prayer until 1,600 people come in here. And it's like, oh, we need some prayer. But here's the deal. You guys have Pastor Mike and Julie who have set up a war room, and their goal is to have 24-hour prayer. 24 hours a day prayer running out of here, which means this. The battle plan has been laid out, and this region will see revival. I am telling you, based on what can happen in that little room. So we have prayer hubs that are meeting over here. Sign up for your hour. Talk to Pastor May. Talk to Pastor Julie. Talk to Janelle. Talk to anybody who was at this Chica conference. They can help you with that. The other thing about this church prophetically that we decree over this church, and we agree with it, is that this is a church that makes disciples. I was a person, now this sounds like a crazy story, but I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. It was undeniable that I was awakened by the Holy Ghost. I mean, I felt it, all of it. And then I got scared. And I was 20 years old, and I left the house of God. And I didn't get discipled. So we could describe the next 2 years as the craziest, darkest moments of my life. I don't get it. I don't understand how a girl can get saved, filled, and then bomb. But I learned later it was because I didn't have anybody walking with me. So the devil picked me off real good. And I came back into the house of God, went to their Bible classes. There's no such thing as that's too early. I was so broken. I was so missing the presence of God. We went to those early classes. A girl in the church, she brought me in, brought me to her house, had the life group, learned to pray, and I learned how to kick the devil's butt with the word of God. He kicked mine, and then I kicked his, and that's the final outcome right there. So this is a house of discipleship. It's not just come to church, have a good time, get your coffee, come next week. You're going to be discipled in this house. I am so for Bethel Chandler. Jesus, more importantly, is so for this place. So this is amazing. So we're in this war, and I'm just going to give you a couple things here, okay? Just to give you, like, is that really happening? Is that really the war that we're in? I already told you 40% of Gen Z, which is between the ages of 12 and 25, which, by the way, these are the ones, just in case you're like, oh, that's too bad for them. No, that's actually too bad for us, because they're the ones that are going to lead our nation. They're the ones going to lead our workplaces. They're the ones going to lead our churches and communities. So to pour into this and get in the battle is really, really important. So in Portland right now, and I'm sure it's happening many different places in the United States, but the bands that they have at school are for wear it on the wrist, for the pronoun that your teacher must call you that day. And you can change your mind from hour to hour or whatever. But the teacher has to address you by the pronoun of the wrist it's on. And one of the pronouns that's now out is God. And here's the narrative. Well, God isn't real. Andy's real. And I'm real. And I'm not real. Okay. Not tracking. But that is the narrative. And then here's the other narrative. That you and I have children to gift to the community, and the government and the community actually owns our children. We don't fully own our children. That's why states like California want to be a sanctuary state for abortion, so that children can flee to California so that they don't have to be accountable to their parents because they're not really part of a family unit entirely. So the narrative is just, it's messed up. Oregon just passed a funding for $5 million to put menstruation stations in every male restroom in our school systems. Because boys should have a right to menstruate. They should have a right to wear a pad. They should have a right to wear a tampon. There are even some places across the U.S. Now, this one just, I mean, I know we're all shocked already, so just we'll just add one more layer here. There are litter boxes being put in the bathrooms because we can't deny a child of a right that they identify as an animal. And they call themselves furries. So just when you thought things were crazy... Okay, so living in Portland, especially through watching Antifa tear apart our town for over 180 days, we're on this side going, as Christians, like, what are we going to do? Go downtown and be like, you guys should stop. That's really mean. You know, I mean, what are you going to, we felt so helpless. And so we're standing outside the battle watching. And I just said, I can't stand this. I have to go somewhere where I can engage. I have to go somewhere where I know that little old me, and I'm just one person, but I have to know by the end of this life that I have done the job as an ambassador and I've fought the good fight of faith and I've made a difference, and just not stand back and complain about everything. God, put me in, coach. Somehow, I don't know how, but put me in, coach. And that's when he gave the plan, a blueprint for mobilization, and he said it's prayer hubs. And he said 250,000 prayer hubs across the nation. And that these little prayer groups of three or four people would get in and they would pray specific things and this thing would be turned over. Now, I'm going to give you something hopeful because you probably feel a little depressed right now. Okay. I'm going to give you something hopeful. So I read an article just the other day while I was here that in Boise, Idaho, there was a drag queen show for elementary kids. And that's happened in Portland. Absolutely. The kids get the money. The parents come. They have a parade. They get the money. They put them inside the drag queen's pants. Seriously. Okay. But in Boise, Idaho, I want to tell you something. You're like, wait, I thought there's good news. Sorry. It's coming. Okay. So in Boise, Idaho, they were doing the drag queen show, or they had it scheduled, and the drag queens were actually the elementary kids themselves. They weren't just watching. They're actually participating in the dress up. And somebody did their research and found out that this grocery store, this huge business in Boise, Idaho, and this one, and this one, and this one, seven of them were sponsoring it. So he just got on Twitter and said, hey, I just wanted everybody to know who's sponsoring the child drag queen show. And six of the seven sponsors canceled their sponsorship. Because they were just kind of like trying to be like, yeah, we support it, right? Because they're serving mammon. Right? We're serving mammon. We're serving money. So I'm just going to do the thing that society wants me to do. But as soon as they were exposed, guess what happened? They canceled it. They had to cancel the drag queen show. It never happened. It never happened. Because of one person's Twitter post. One person was like, hey, just so everybody knows, this is who's sponsoring this show. And so my point is this. It can, on the outside, the battle can look really crazy. But when we ask God, put me in, coach, put me in the, what do you want me to do here? It might be open your prayer hub, get your 16-year-old, and the two of you, 1 hour once a month, go to town for 1 hour and pray and move mountains. And you know what most people say? Well, it's just me. It's just, I mean, I'm just one person. What could I do? Said 7 billion people in the nation. So you know what? I'm not going to go to heaven with a whole bunch of excuses for my Jesus. I'm going to come into heaven like huffing and puffing. My angels are going to be like, thank God that's over. I'm serious. And I'm going to slide in. I'm going to slide into heaven with scrapes and mistakes and repentance and oops, I learned to do something better because I did it this way. But I'm not going to slide in with excuses. I'm going to slide in just going, how'd it go? How'd it go? Did we do okay? We made it. Because we're all going to give an account for our life. And so the Lord wanted to say to you today a few things. And that's the first one is you and I are in a war. Are you watching the war? Or are you asking the Lord for your battle plans? And you know what? The battle plans are in the Word of God. Pray. Love. Unite. It's really simple. What's not simple is our flesh. Our flesh doesn't want to do that stuff. And the enemy wants to distract us and point us to a counterfeit war. He knows that we're made for war, so he's playing on that. He's like, hey, ambassador, there's a big problem over here. Huge, huge problem over here. Do you see your husband's towel on the floor again? I know he loves you, but if he really honored you, really respected you, he wouldn't expect you to pick up after him all the time. And all of a sudden this, rises up. So the enemy, don't let him do that to you. Don't let him leverage your warrior. And what he wants to do is he wants to turn the war that we're supposed to be fighting out there, all the crazy stuff I just told you, he wants us to look at a counterfeit war and call it purpose. The other day, I took a picture, put it on my stories just as comic relief and therapy for myself. But it was a picture of my children's bathroom. And it was like there was no floor space to step on because it was clothes. And then there's a hamper. And I drew an arrow. You know how you can draw on your pictures? I drew an arrow like this and typed longest distance known to man. And I don't know how many ways I've said it. I don't know how many. It's like threats, bribes, money. I'm taking your phone. Okay, let me try being nice. I mean, it just doesn't work. None of it works. Maybe you have something that works and you need to tell me what's working. But my point is, how easy is it to get caught up in a counterfeit battle? And now we're not on mission. And the heart of the Father says that there are millions of people in the state of Arizona, 4 out of 5, that cannot say they are going to heaven, cannot say that they have a relationship with God. They cannot say what their purpose is in life. They cannot identify with being loved and forgiven and free. That is the war at hand. The war at hand is for the kingdom of darkness to get its grips and its talons off of the people and bring them into the house of God. Now, I'm going to point out one of the oldest tricks in the book, but it's a little bit tricky, and it's the counterfeit war that happens inside the church. Okay, I'm going to read you something. Matthew 12. This is Jesus speaking, and he's being accused after he cast out a demon. He's being accused of working for Satan. Wait, you're casting out demons. You must work for Satan. He's like, let me tell you how this works. Any kingdom that fights against itself will end up in ruins. And any family or community splintered by strife will fall apart. We've got to get this one down. We've got to get this one down because it's the oldest trick in the book. The enemy comes to divide the army. Divide the army. And I think that it's easy to get divided and fall for that thing when we are fighting the wrong war within. So his trick is fight the war within. Fight the war within. Even fight not just the war within the church, but within here. Like fighting a spirit of self-pity. Like I just can't get over this. Things are just done to me. Like I'm always a victim. You are going to need to heal from that, because that is a distraction to the real war. The real purpose you have is the war out there to win the lost. Many people are headed to hell. We must get focused. We must be about our Father's business so we can slide into heaven. Fist bump, high five, hug. I don't know what you're going to do, Jesus. I'm probably going to tackle him. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I just want to slide in and say, was I about your business, God? Was I about your business, or was I so caught up in my husband doing everything I want him to do and behave the way I want him to behave? And my friend, I don't like that she's doing that. And in my church, why do I have all the work? What? Wait a minute, why am I doing this? Why is she always late? Why am I like, right? This disgruntled thing that can happen. And so this is just kind of like a, whew, let's just get that thing off of us this morning. Let's just get that thing off of us this morning. Let's just get that thing off of us this morning. So here is a warning. Don't get recruited into the counterfeit war, the counterfeit army, and the counterfeit battle. If you are, I'm just feeling this prophetically, if you have somebody that's talking and they're like, yeah, we have a little problem, and it's da-da-da, and then the closer you get, it's actually a problem with so-and-so in the church, you're being recruited into a counterfeit army. And in that moment, you need to say, you know what? I hear you. It sounds like you're really frustrated. I'm going to recommend that you go speak to them directly. The Bible says to go to a brother together. Go and say, can you help me understand this? So, but right now what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for you. And I'm actually going to ask you to repent. As your sister in Christ, this is a poison. Now, you're going to hurt their little feelings. Okay, but some of us in the church are scratching the itch of complaining. And because you run in a high mercy gift, you're the one that people come to and say, scratch my itch right here. No, down a little bit. No, Pastor Julie, I wish she would do it that way. I mean, but let's pray for her. Let's pray. I mean, don't you agree? Scratch right there. Yeah, just right there. Don't be scratching no itches for the enemy. You're going to have to say, as a sister or as a brother in Christ, I'm going to just tell you right now that this is a strategy of the enemy to pick you off. Submission is not submission until we disagree. Example, if I say to my children, all five of them, hey guys, we're going to Salt and Straw, which is an incredible ice cream place. Yeah. And it's amazing. They all find their shoes on their own. They all match. Somehow it's not just one shoe and the other one's missing. And somehow they're in the car. They can get the door open without complaining. Like, it's unbelievable. You should see how obedient my kids are. But when I say, okay, guys, for the next couple hours, we're doing family chores. We just need to get this place put back together. It's like ghost town. Or people flopping on the floor, depending on their age. You know, the toddler flop, like the noodle, you know. And so when you disagree with your leaders, and you wouldn't do it that way. Like, you just wouldn't do it that way. You would do it a different way if you were in charge, right? When you disagree, just know that you can pass that test. Decide to pass the test. See, the enemy right there is, he's trying to nudge you. He's trying to be like, yeah. If you think the devil's not going to try to pick you off, you don't understand how this thing works. He is going to try to pick you off, and he's going to do it by getting your eyes off the outside war and getting it inside the church or at that person or your husband or your kid or your business partner, whatever. He's going to do something here. And what you can do in that moment is go, oh, I know what's happening right now. I'm not going to fall for that. I'm going to submit to the person that is my authority. And you know what? Here's the thing. If your boss or whoever you call your authority in whatever situation, if they're not doing the right thing and you really think that, go to God. I just sit across the desk from God when we have business meetings, kind of where we meet, okay? Sometimes we're at the beach, sometimes we're, you know, but we're, when it's serious, you know, it's, we're at a desk. And I just write the little note, and it might be finances for our family. It might be whatever, whatever you have. And then just slide it across the desk and say, this is what I'm thinking, and I could be wrong, and you're God. So here you go. And then you walk away. You walk away, and you let God work it out. But if you want to be in the drama war, you won't walk away. You'll manipulate. You'll tell somebody here because you think they have the influence to change that person, and you'll get all caught up in that. And that is a web that the spirit of Jezebel is weaving to try to take you out and try to divide the house. So don't fall for that. Amen? So we are in a battle for our attention. And what we give our attention to, we worship. What we give our attention to, we worship. So we're going to have to be super intentional. Because I don't know about you, but if I'm not intentional, my flesh will drift to the nearest problem. Right? It's like, oh, there it is. So we're going to have to be intentional to turn our eyes outward and say, Father, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven through me, through my family, through my children. Father, I want to be about your business today. Help me not be distracted by the small things, by the little thing, the little foxes that spoil the vine. Okay, I love this part that he wanted to share with you guys. I think this is so exciting, and here it is. He wants you to receive and cheerfully celebrate the reward that you get when you are fighting his battle. So, we are in a war, and you will get a role in the war. And you might think, well, I mean, all I got was assigned to the coffee, or all I got was assigned to like filling up these baskets with, you know, Kleenex and stuff. That doesn't feel like, you know, war. So you got to be able to see what war really looks like sometimes, right? And so you're going to get a reward for the role you play in the war. Now, I'm going to tell you what the reward is based on the scriptures. And what God wants you to do is receive your reward cheerfully, because it's a reward. And here's what it is. And I love this passage of scripture. And I've read it so many times, but there was a new highlight on this. How many of you love like reading something and it's like the 87th time and then it's like something new comes? That's what happened to me here. So I'm going to read this to you. I know that most of you have read this. So just hang with me here, because there might be something new for you as well. Matthew 25, verse 14. This is going to sound familiar. So again, heaven's kingdom realm, so this is a parable, is like the wealthy man who went on a long journey and summoned all his trusted servants and assigned his financial management over to them. Before he left on his journey, he entrusted a bag of 5,000 gold coins to one of his servants, and to another a bag of 2,000 gold coins, and to the third person a bag of 1,000 gold coins, each according to his ability to manage. So one guy gets 5,000, one guy gets 2,000, and one guy gets 1,000. According to their ability to manage. Key. The role you get in the war is going to be according to what you can manage, and God knows what you and I can manage. Now, I will say that little quote, like, God will never give you more than you can handle. That's not right. God will give you according to what you can manage. That manager might not have arisen yet. And so you have to pray. You have to pray. You have to say, God, whatever's in me that has the ability to cooperate and partner with you to pull this off, right? So you'll get just enough that you have to pray, okay? You'll get just enough that you can't pull it off in your own self. But it won't be more to the point where you can't succeed at it. All right? So we get the amount that God gives us. Now, here's what happened. The one entrusted with 5,000 gold coins immediately went out and traded with the money, and he doubled his investment, so 5 to 10,000. In the same way, the one who was entrusted with 2,000 gold coins traded with the sum and likewise doubled his investment. But the one who had been entrusted with 1,000 gold coins dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money. After much time had passed, the master returned to settle accounts with his servants. The one who was entrusted with 5,000 gold coins came and brought 10,000, saying, "See, I have doubled your money." Commending his servant, the master, who in this parable is Father God, replied, "You have done well and proven yourself to be my loyal and trustworthy servant." He's getting ready to get a reward. You ready for this? "Because you have been a faithful steward to manage a small sum, now I will put you in charge of much, much more. You will experience the delight of your master, who will say to you, 'Come celebrate with me.'" So the way that the Lord celebrates us doing a good job in our role is he gives us more responsibility. Did you catch that? Okay, guess how this plays out. I remember the first time my mom asked me to vacuum. And I was a middle child. I was the kid that's like, "I'm going to do this. I'm gonna make my mom proud of me." My sister was rebellious, my older one, so I was like, "I'm not going to be like that. So I'm just going to, you know." And I was so proud, and it was so good, you know. And I was probably like six, right? And she comes, and she's like, "Wow." She's like, "You are now the family vacuumer." And I went, that was a huge mistake. Even that little, I knew, like, I felt like this whole thing backfired. How many parents admit, my Esther at 14, I'm telling you, her crown's going to be giant. Hopefully her brother at 18 can catch up to this. I mean, she is just dependable. It's like, okay, Esther, you again, right? And so this is how it works in the kingdom. This is how it works. So the Lord was telling me, there's this little trick the enemy plays, and you come into the church and you get a role and you're so excited. I'm filling up the Kleenex. I'm being helpful. I'm being useful. I'm meeting new people. This is awesome. And then they're like, "Hey, by the way, can you come like 30 minutes early? Because we have this other thing happening. We'd like you to be responsible for that." And you're like, "Sure, why not? Absolutely." Da, 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 da. This goes on for a while until you're like, "Is anybody else working as hard as me?" And the enemy's like, "No, no, you're doing it all. You're doing it all. The pastors wouldn't even have to show up, and this church would run on you." So we have to be careful that we do not have a bitter taste for our reward, because your reward is more responsibility. Yay! You are now the house vacuumer. But here's what's awesome. When you do such a good job, you get to bring people on and say, "Hold on a minute. I'm vacuuming this church, seven, let's use the vacuum thing, 7 days a week. I know six other people. And I know six other dependable people because I've seen that girl show up and she's so faithful at this Kleenex box. I'm going to see if she also wants to vacuum." Right? So we start giving dependable people more to do. We do it, right? But when it happens to us, we can kind of get in that little place where the enemy's like, "I know, you're just a martyr. Just a martyr. Yeah, mm-hmm." But the thing is that Jesus is celebrating over us. He's like, "Let's celebrate. I'm giving you more responsibility." Now, the alternative is we're given a job and we don't do it. We drop the ball. And we read about that guy, right? Well, that's not pretty. He says, I'm going to give what I gave you. I'm going to give it to the guy that's doing something. And I'm just getting it, doing away with you. And I told my church this a week ago, that we, in our right minds with Christ, cannot give our life back the way we got it. Okay, The American dream is going to tell you, dream about less responsibility. RV, travel the country. Get away from all these crazy people. Get away from all this stuff. Or better yet, what about a vacation home that you could live at always? It'll just be a permanent vacation. Like you could live on an island somewhere, right? So we start dreaming of less responsibility. And when we dream with God, that is not his dream. His dream is us becoming generals in the army. His dream is for us to climb the ranks in the army and help other people and distribute jobs and responsibilities. So retirement, you can throw that out the window. You are never going to retire from the kingdom of God. You are going to fly into heaven just looking like crazy awesome. And you'll be in your glorified body. And then we will have jobs over there. We're not just going to be on the harp, just like, wow, this is going to be a long time, eternity, wow. I would never want to admit I'm bored, you know? You guys, we're going to be reigning and ruling according to what we do here. This is just a blink of an eye. And so the Lord wanted you to know that some of you might need to repent. Might need to repent to him. To God and just say, okay, Lord, I have been focused and maybe mumbling and grumbling, and maybe I haven't been so grateful about the reward you gave me for more. And so, God, I can see why you haven't given me more lately because I haven't received what you've given me. Maybe some of you need to repent for gossip. Maybe some of you need to repent for slander, calling it prayer. If I tell Susie something and Susie doesn't have the authority or the power to fix it, it's gossip. That's how you know. And you're like, well, no, she's my prayer partner. Don't do that. We can't trick God. So we're cleaning up the heart. We're cleaning up our minds. And guess what? You've never been happier when you're on mission with God. You've never been happier. Pastor Julie and I were talking about sending our oldest out into the world, into their destiny. And it's this crazy experience where you're so happy and then you're so grieving at the same time. How many of you I'm talking about? It is a wild place to be. But we were talking about how going out and ministering to people and bringing Jesus to lost, hurting, and broken people, that grief just falls off of you. And I can't imagine what would happen to somebody that might get so inside and the war within and then me and my stuff and my worries and my this, and all of a sudden you're just down here and you can't live out your destiny and you have to give your life back the way you got it. So we're super accountable. We're super accountable. God has given each one of you the ability to do something. Maybe you're the guy that got the 1,000 talents. Go double it. What could you do in this house to double it? What could you do to bless this house? What could you do to bless your own home? Gather your family up and say, you know what, guys? We're all a little pathetic. Let's be honest. Okay? We're all a little pathetic. I'm finally realizing, so am I. I'm not the only one perfect around here. But you know what? We love each other. My kids, we were in Atlantis. They were really little, and they were fighting in the hotel room. And I thought, I just couldn't take it anymore. So I sat down and I wrote a Donnelly decree, and they're really little, and I made them memorize it. And every time they started arguing, I was like, all right, 1, 2, 3, go. We are the Donnellys. We love each other. We respect each other. We defend each other. We live for Christ together. I am forgiven. I am thankful. I know who I am. And today I choose to love God, love people, and love myself. Now, they didn't sound like that doing it. They were like, we are the Donnellys. We love each other. We respect each other. You know, because they're mad every time I made them say it. But I had to get a battle plan. Because the battle plan of stop fighting, stop arguing, all it did was actually feed it like gasoline. Really, truly. And I was like, okay, you guys hug each other. And they're like, oh, you know. And I was like, we are the Donnellys. And the battle plan was decreeing who we are. decreeing who we are. So you know what? We're going to stand up for unity in our families, in our marriages, in this house. And if somebody comes along and tries to pick you off, even a really good friend, they might not know that the devil's using them to pick you off and pick them off. Just be wise. In that moment, be smart and say, no, actually, we're going to pray right now. We're going to pray for humility for us. We're going to repent for even having this conversation. I don't like this conversation. It's making me feel yucky. So let's just repent for that. And I want everybody to stand to their feet really quick. And I'm just going to close with this. I'm going to pray a blessing over you. We're going to break the assignment of anything on your family or this house that would come to divide you. And then we're going to stretch our hands to Pastor Julie on behalf of her and Pastor Mike and bless and honor them. And honor them. Honor them. The Bible says that when the leaders are honored, we get to rejoice. Yeah, isn't that awesome? So Father God, by the authority given to me through Jesus Christ, I bless this house, Bethel Chandler, I bless you to go out into a lost, hurting, and broken world and reconcile people back to Christ. And I plead the blood of Jesus over every household and over this family. And I break every assignment to divide over this house right now. And I thank you, Father, for a sweeping repentance where we would just turn around and say, I'm not going that direction anymore. I'm going to the direction of honor and lordship. And Father God, right now in Jesus' name, we bless Pastor Julie and Pastor Mike. We stretch our hands out to you, Pastor Julie and Pastor Mike, and we say, be blessed, be highly favored. You are a lighthouse to the Phoenix Metroplex. I hear God say, you are a lighthouse, and your light will shine brighter and brighter and brighter, and we will have arms that hold your arms up. So we thank you, God. We thank you, Father, for a general in the faith. You are a general in the faith, and we thank you for it, Jesus. We thank you for lieutenants. We thank you for rank. We thank you for pulling up the army of God in the Phoenix Metroplex. We thank you for it, Jesus. And everybody said, amen. God bless you guys.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.